Okay, we're beginning here, seven lines up on the bottom of Ted Vavim Bet. I'm Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Zo Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. What we've been discussing over here is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, where they darshan the word Lo Yigael Be'ele. They darshan based on the Be'ele to limit the view of what is included in the Shichrur of an Eved Ivri. Here was being about an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Nachri. And then people come to redeem him, which is permitted by the Torah. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva argue about whether if the relatives redeem him or third parties redeem him, in which instance does he remain an Eved Ivri to whoever redeems him, in which instance does he go free? So they have this limud that allows for some parties to free him and some parties to keep him bishibud. And the Gemara concluded that they argue bisvara, that it's a logical argument about which makes more sense. But that's because the word Be'ele teaches them that. Aval Chachamim Omrim Akol D'Shichrur. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe against the positions of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva that any Eved Ivri that is redeemed from an Achri goes free. Man Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim? Rabbi Hi. To Mepik Le the High Be'ele the Drosh Achrina. Because he doesn't have the word Be'ele to limit the scope of the freedom attained through redemption of other parties. Remember we said that had it not been for the word Be'ele, we would say Mikra Didrash Lefanav Ulacharav. And in the order of the Psukim, you have the freedom based on relatives, then his freeing of himself, and then the freeing of third parties. So the freeing of himself is clearly for his, to attain freedom or complete freedom. So the question is, the relatives and the third parties that are around that, do they also attain that same status? So if it's Nidrash Lefanav, the answer is relatives also, when they redeem him, go free. If you say l'acharav, that means that even third parties, when they redeem him, they also go free. So now what the Gemara is saying is that the word be'ele for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva limited it. It said the drasha either goes b'fanav or acharav, but not both. Rabbi has a different limud from the word be'ele, which is what we started with before when we asked who argues on Rabbi, because it says lo yigael be'ele, Rabbi Omer, be'elu hu nigal v'ni nigal b'sheish. That taught us that you can be redeemed through third parties or your relatives or buying yourself out from the Nachri, but there is no 6-year cap on an Eved Ivri that is sold to a Goy. There is no such thing as 6 years there. Rabbi learns that out from Be'ele. So if he doesn't have Be'ele to limit the limud, that means that maybe clear the Be'ele the drash achrina umigra nidrash ben lefanav ben lachrav. Then the pasuk that talks about him buying his own freedom out, which is clearly for freedom, then so too the relatives that are mentioned before and the third parties that are mentioned afterwards, when they buy him out, when they redeem him from this Nachri, they also redeem him to Shichur, to freedom. Rabbi, Bahai, Vyatza, Bishnato Yovel, Mayavidle. So what does Rabbi then do with Vyatza, Bishnato Yovel? Because he said, Melo Yigael Be'ele, Vyatza, Bishnato Yovel, Hu Banav Imo. So Mayavidle. So what does he do with that? Vibayle, Yigereg Tanyo. He needs it for this Braita. Vyatza, Bishnato Yovel.
It
says that he goes out in the Shnat HaYovel. What is the circumstance in which we are discussing this? Are we speaking about an Oved Kochavim that is under your jurisdiction? Or are we speaking about an Oved Kochavim that is not under your jurisdiction? Amar says, what could you do? Meaning that in the case where it's an Oved Kochavim she'ein tachat yadecha, if that's what you say, Amart, how can you compel him to release him in the Yovel? There's no way that a non-Jew who's not under your jurisdiction is going to listen to release him in the Yovel. It has no meaning to him, the Yovel. So it must be, comes to teach you that it's talking about an Oved Kochavim, it's under your jurisdiction. Since he's under your jurisdiction, you can compel him to free him on the Yovel. So then, okay, that's a nice vort, but what does that do for you? So Rashi Ovi explains what that means, is that it's an Oved Kochavim shetachat yadecha, which is, im lo yigael ishtabed bo ad yovel. If he is not redeemed or paid for, he remains under the jurisdiction of the Nachri until the Yovel. Ve'ein atay rashay lo vo alav ba'akifin. You're not allowed to then try to cheat him, sneak him, get him out of this slavery or this enslavement. Rashi says that this comes to teach you that you have to act honestly and straightforwardly with this individual. And you can't just say, look, you're under our jurisdiction. All Eved Ivris go free. That's it. No, you've got to deal with him honestly. And that says that you wait till the Yovel. Either you redeem him for full price, or you wait for the dovel. Tosafot asks over here, Vim Tomar, v'tipuklei midichtiv, v'teshivim kuhneihu, mishnatim makro, lo, ad shnat ha'yovel. It already says in the Psukim that v'chishav im kuhneihu mishnatim makro lo, ad shnat ha'yovel, that you have to calculate the exact price of what his value is until the yovel. If you want to buy him out, then you buy him out based on the number of years that are left. It's clear in the Psukim that you have to be honest in your dealings. Why do you need Ad Shnat Yovel to come and teach you even more so that you have to be honest in your dealings? So Tosfot says something even more amazing. V'yeshlamar, Dimahatam. If it was just the Psukim that tell you you have to be honest in your dealings, Havamina Demayir Be'uvi Kochavim She'enu Tachad Yadecha. I would thought that that's even with a goy that's not under your jurisdiction. Da'ati Kralam Eymar. Shemodim lo et edin lo ve'et kuchavim. You tell him what is the Jewish law in this case. Im yirtze lishmoa lekabel alav din Torah. Maybe he would be willing to accept the din Torah. Aval bo ve'et kuchavim sheish no tachad yadecha. But in ove'et kuchavim that's under your jurisdiction, avamina, lo netev leiklau. That we wouldn't let him stay there at all. That means that we would engender a situation in which if the Jew is enslaved by the non-Jew, we would say no, he goes free. We're not going to let him stay in that position. We'll free him when he's under our jurisdiction. Even if you can force the Jew out of the hands of this non-Jew, you're not allowed to cheat him. You're not allowed to do this in a backhanded manner. But you don't free him unless you pay for it. What ends up happening here is Tosafot suggests that when it comes to the freeing of this slave, that if it's a case where you do not have jurisdiction over the goy, that you propose to him, this is what it is under Jewish law, let us pay for him and free him. If he does not agree to that, then maybe you open up the possibility of doing it in a backhanded manner. As long as there's no Chilul Hashem involved, then we would allow you to maybe do something in a more circumspect manner. If he refuses to abide by what would be the Jewish law, even though he's not subject to our jurisdiction. On the other hand, if he's under our jurisdiction, you have no choice but to follow the Torah prescription here, which is either you redeem him at full price, whatever that price is, based on the amortized amount over the life of the enslavement until the Yovel, or he stays there until the Yovel. You can't just exercise some sort of eminent domain and say, oh, Jewish slaves go free. Because you have to treat him properly, you have to act in an appropriate manner. You have to do mishpat u'tzedaka. It was this week's of Torah. Last pasuk in the Torah. That's all Hashem wants from you. It should do mishpat u'tzedaka. To do what's honest and straightforward and right. So here, the just thing to do is to buy him out at the right price. If you don't do that, you cannot free him. You cannot get him out of this position. So that's what we learned from this pasuk about our jurisdiction, and the fact that he goes free in the Yovel means that in the interim periods, if you want him to go out early, you're going to have to buy him out at the price that is calculated based on the remaining years that are left. And now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and says, Ubishtar. It says here that there are different ways to acquire an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri nikran bekesef, which we've discussed, and now Ubishtar. So now the Shtar, Minolon. How do you know that a Shtar works by an Eved Ivri? If he takes another woman, this is speaking about an Ama Ivriya. So when it comes to an Ama Ivriya, the Adon has the right to marry her. If he does marry her and then chooses to take another wife, there the Torah says, then he has to still treat her like a full-fledged wife. And she gets Sheirak Suta Veona. She doesn't lose her status as a wife just because he takes another wife. She has full rights like any other wife. We've seen this Hekesh before. Yerushalmi and our Gemara in one place uses this for the source to connect between Ama Ivriya and the Kiddushin of an Isha. And here again, we're going to do the same thing, just in reverse. We're going to say, Ma Acheret Mekanya Bishtar. Just like Kiddushin of an Isha can be generated through a Shtar, Af Ama Ivriya Mekanya Bishtar. So too, an Ama Ivriya can be acquired through a Shtar. The parallel or the hekesh between the other wife and the Ama Ivriya says just like the other wife can be entered into marriage through kesef and shtar. So to over here, we can say the same thing about the Ama Ivriya, that she can be entered into this situation by kesef ube shtar. And so here is the fact that we know about shtar. Now shtar, once we know that by Ama Ivriya, already the psukim and dvarim begin with the ki macher lecha achicha ivri o ha ivriya. And then you get a hekesh between an Eved Ivri and an Ama Ivriya. Once you know that an Amai Vira can be acquired through Shtar, so too an Eved Ivri can be acquired through Shtar. Mar says, Anichel Amandamar Shtar Amai Vriya Adon Kotvo. That makes sense. According to, we're going to see in a second, this Machloket, where who writes the Shtar Kiddushin, or the Shtar that's involved here, when it comes to the Amai Ivriya. If it's the master that writes it, then what you're saying makes complete sense. Elamandamar Avkotvo Mayika Nameimar. But if it's the father that generates the shtar, then what are you going to say? The itmar. Here is the machloket amuraim that we're discussing here. Shtar amai ivriya. The shtar of an amai ivriya that places her into the position of being an amai ivriya, mi kotvo. Who writes it? Rav Huna amar adon kotvo. The master writes it. Rav Chista amar av kotvo. On the other hand, Rav Chista believes that the father writes it. That makes a difference because when it comes to the shtar of kiddushin, shtar kiddushin is written by the baal. By the husband. He either writes to the father, Hare bitcha mikudeshet li, and he gives him the shtar, or he writes to the woman herself, Hare at mikudeshet li, and he hands her the shtar. So the one who writes the shtar is the acquirer, quote unquote, in that case. So in our case of Amai Vriya, if the Adon writes the shtar to acquire the Amai Vriya, that would be parallel to the case of Kiddushin. Because in the case of Kiddushin, the acquirer, quote-unquote, is the one who writes the shtar. So too by Amai Vriya, the Adon is the one who writes the shtar. And then you can have a hekesh between the two. And you can say, just like there's a shtar by Kiddushin, so too there is a shtar by an Amai Vriya. We can learn out the shtar of Amai Vriya from Kiddushin because they look the same. They function the same way. On the other hand, if you hold like Rav Chista, who says the father writes the shtar by the Amai Vriya, saying, here is my daughter as an Amai Ivriya, then the father there is not the acquirer. The father there is the makneh. He's the one who's giving up control to the Adon. Then, if that's the way the shtar is written by Amai Ivriya, it's very hard to parallel the shtar of Amai Ivriya to shtar Kiddushin, because they don't look the same. One of them looks like a shtar mecher, and one of them looks like a shtar Kiddushin. And the two are not the same type of shtar. When they're not the same type of shtar, it's hard to argue that you can make a hekesh saying, oh, because shtar works by Kiddushin, it works by Amai Vriya. The shtar by Amai Vriya is a totally different mechanism than the shtar by Kiddushin. Why is this? Anichal Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, that hekesh works well. El Rav Chista, Ma'ika Lameimar. According to Rav Chista, what are you going to say? Because Rav Chista looks at the shtar as a different mechanism. So Amar Rav Acha by Yaakov Amakra, Lo Tetzei Ketzei Tavadim. It says by the Amai Vriya that she will not be released like the Eved. Aval nikneti kikinyan avadim. On the other hand, she can be acquired like avadim. The avadim that we're referring to here is an eved knani. The Gemara in a second will darsh in this pasuk as to what it means that an amai ivriya is not released or freed like an eved knani. But the Gemara's darsh to Rashi right now is she's not released like an eved knani, but she is acquired like an eved knani. Eved knani, we're going to see coming up in the perek, is acquired through kesef, shtar, and chazakah. Just like property. Just like property can be acquired through Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakah, so too an Eved Kanani can be acquired through Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakah. That means that just like an Eved Kanani can be acquired by Shtar, so too an Amai Ivriya can be acquired by Shtar. So my Niyu, Shtar, what is this thing that she can be acquired for? We know Kesef already by Amai Ivriya. The only question is about Shtar. The problem with the Limud is, and that's what the Gemara is going to say in 1 second, is that an Eved Kanani can be acquired through Kesef, Shtar and Chazakah. So Kesef, we know by an Amai Ivriya. Shtar, we're learning. What about Chazakah? That would imply that a Amai Ivriya is not released like an Eved, but she is acquired like an Eved. Acquired like an Eved means Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakah. Why are you picking Shtar? You could have picked Chazakah as the vehicle. That means that an Amai Ivriya could be acquired through Chazakah, which we know is not true. And so then how are you going to deal, or how are you going to limit this limud? Which is Veima. Aval nikneti kikinyan avadim, umayniyu chazakah. So Gemara asks the question, how do you know it's shtar and not chazakah? Amakra, the pasuk says, by the Eved Knani, v'idnacheltem utam livnechem achareichem, says there that you will pass them as property to your children. The end of the parsha of Eved Ivri, that sells himself to a Jew, says there, you must treat him properly. You must release him when it comes time to release him. You must take care of him. Because he is not like the Eved Kanani. Because the Eved Kanani, those people you can enslave and you can keep them as full-fledged slaves and you can pass them as property to your children. From that we learn, otam bechazaka, v'lo acher bechazaka. Only they can be acquired through chazaka. Property chazaka is demonstrating ownership. By a slave, demonstrating ownership is you have him do something that is a slave's job. You make him do something that maybe in a sense is a little demeaning for a free person to do. Make him carry your clothes behind you to the Beit HaMerchatz. You have him do something in service of the Adon, that's the chazaka. So here, the chazaka only applies to otam, but not to anyone else. Otam livnechem below, but no techem livnechem. That's the way it works for them, but not for your daughters. So Gemara says, how do you know? We have one miut, and we have one ribuy. We have the ribuy of lo ktseit ktseit avadim, that she's not released like an Eved Kenani, but she is acquired like an Eved Kenani. And we have a miut that says otam. This is the way an Eved Kenani is acquired, but no one else is acquired. So I have a ribuy and a miut. So right now the Gemara says the ribuy comes to include shtar, the miut comes to exclude chazaka. Ve'ema, otam bishtar, v'lo acher bishtar. Why don't we say that instead of excluding chazaka, exclude shtar? Gemara says, aktiv, lo tzeitzei ketzeit avadim. It says that the pasuk that has the ribuy included a shtar. Umaraita. Who says it should be that way? Meaning the Gemara is asking the question, how do you know that the ribuy is for shtar and the miut is for chazaka? Say just the opposite. The ribuy is for chazaka, that you can acquire through chazaka, and the miut is by shtar. It says, mistavra shtar havalei l'ribuye. It makes sense to include shtar, shekein motzi'ah bebat Yisrael. Because we see shtar has function within the world of kinyanim, which is that it releases a bat Yisrael. A get is a shtar that works. Adraba, chazaka havalei l'ribuye. Chazaka works in other places as well. Shekein koneh b'nechse ager. Ager's property, if he has no yorshim when he passes away, his property becomes hefker. The way that you acquire that property is through chazaka, is through exerting ownership over the hefker, any hefker. If you want to acquire it, you exert ownership over it. That's how you acquire it. So we see that chazaka has the function of a kinyan in other places as well. It says, v'ishut mi'olo ashkechan. By marriage or in the world of women, chazaka doesn't function as a kinyan in any shape or form. Chazaka does have application outside of simply the narrow scope of Eved Kenani. But wherever it has application, it has nothing to do with marriage or Ama Ivriya at all. Whereas when you're talking about a shtar, shtar functions in other places besides Eved Kenani, but it functions also in the world of women. You have a shtar that is Motzi. You have a shtar that it works as a get. You also have, as Tosfot points out here, what the Gemara probably should have said is, shtar machnis. The shtar allows you to generate kiddushin. So the fact that the shtar allows you to generate kiddushin is also another evidence of the fact that shtar is relevant in the world of marriage, in the world of kiddushin. So why don't we do that? In all likelihood, the answer is because shtar kiddushin is a derivative of shtar gerushin. The only reason that we allow a shtar by kiddushin is because we learn it out from the shtar gerushin. That's the hekesh, v'yatza v'hayta. The reason, how do we know that a shtar works to generate kiddushin is because the shtar works to divorce. And from a yatzav ha'ita, that hekesh teaches us that you can move it over to the acquisition. That's what you would have answered. Tosafot gives a similar but different answer, and he says that get is explicit in the pasuk. So since that's a shtar that's explicit in the pasuk, that's why the Gemara brought that as the example, and not the limud from kiddushin, because that's not explicit in the pasuk. So he doesn't say it's a deficit because it's learned out of get, but simply because get is explicit. So they brought the pasuk that's explicit, that says shtar by yishut. Whereas the Ramban and the Rashba say that the reason that they didn't use shtar kiddushim over here is because it doesn't match up to the methodology or vehicle we want to use. By shtar kiddushin, it is the baal who's entering into it, whereas by the shtar get, it's the makneh, the one who's granting the shtar that gives the shtar, the one who's giving over the rights. And therefore, the shtar gerushin is more parallel to the shtar that we're looking for over here, rather than the shtar kiddushin. And that's why the Gemara intentionally brought down get instead of kiddushin. Because of that description, now we're going to say this, which is as far as Ravuna is concerned, the whole limud comes im acheret yikach lo, that there's some sort of parallel between kiddushin and ama ivriya, just like kiddushin works with shtar, so the ama ivriya works with the shtar. And the ama ivriya shtar is just like that of Kiddushin, because the Adon writes it. The other answer of Chista, who says that the shtar of Ama Ivriya is different than the shtar of Kiddushin, because the father writes it, so his limud comes out of Lo b'teitzei k'tzeit avadim. That she doesn't get dismissed or released like avadim, but she can be acquired like an eved, and that's through shtar. And as Rashi describes over here, aval ika shtar la mikidushin yolif. We don't learn out the major aspect of shtar from kiddushin. The tema don kotvo, to teach you that the master writes it. Ella, mishtar karkaot yolif. We're going to learn it out of the shtar of karkaot, which is kishtar eved knani. Va'av kotvo. And just like by an eved knani and by karko, who's the one who writes the shtar? The mocher writes the shtar. So it's over here, the father will be the writer of the shtar. The shtar sadot, mocher kotvo. Just like there, where the seller writes the shtar. So to over here, the father will write the shtar. So for Rav Chista, the source being Eved Knani shows you the paradigm or mechanism of shtar that's going to be used here. It's going to be like a shtar mecher. So that's how we learn out shtar. Rav Huna, Lo Teitzei K'tzei Tavidim, my Dorish Bey. Rav Huna, who doesn't need Lo Teitzei K'tzei Tavidim because he learns it out of the Hekesh between Imacheret Ikach Lo, that's how he learns out shtar by Amai Vriya. What does he do with this pasuk? This is the pasuk. What does it mean that she's not released like an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani, one of the mechanisms for release of an Eved Kanani is if his adon hits him and knocks out his eye or ruins his hearing. In those cases, Roshei Avarim, if he does any damage to his Roshei Avarim, the Eved Kanani wins his emancipation from that. He doesn't have to compensate him for the damage. He simply wins his emancipation as remuneration for the damage done to him. When it comes to an Eved Ivri and an Ama Ivriya, if the Adon does such a thing to them, then they are like any other quote-unquote free person, and he has to compensate them fully for the Nezek that is done. Plus, they gain no freedom from that. They're not given freedom, but they are treated like a free person, which is that the damage or the full damages must be paid in that case. So that's what it means. Lo Teitzei K'tzei Tavadim. She does not have that same rule about winning emancipation from the damage to Roshei Avarim like an Eved Kanani has. So Gemara says, okay, for Rav Chista, what about Rav Chista? What is Rav Chista going to do? He needs this drasha as well, that she doesn't go out like an Eved Kanani. In game lechtov kra, lo teitzei ke'avadim. She should not be released like an Eved Kanani. Ma kitzei avadim. So you have an extraneous word there, shmami natarti, that you can learn two things out. One thing is that she's not released like an Eved Kanani with Roshei Avarim. And number two is that shtar works, just like shtar works by an Eved Kanani, so too shtar works over here by an Ama Ivriya, because she doesn't get released like an Eved Kanani, but she can be acquired like an Eved Kanani. Now the Mishnah continues. It says there, an Eved Ivri is nikne b'kesev shtar. He can be acquired through kesev and shtar. Obviously, bia is not relevant over there. B'kone atzmo, b'shanim, u'biovel, u'bigiron kesef. The ways that he can acquire himself are the expiry of the 6 years that he works, the yovel that comes in, or begiron kesef, he buys himself out, or he's able to buy himself out for freedom. So yoter alav ama ivriya, the ama ivriya is one thing above that, which is she gets out with simanim. Earlier of 6 years, yovel or simanim. So those are the release of the eved ivri. V'konet etzmo b'shanim, how do you know that after 6 years that he goes free? Dichtiv, that pasuk is explicit in Mishpatim, Kitneh Eved Ivri, Sheishanim Yabod, Uvashvi Yitzei Lechovshi Chinam. So there he goes, that's 6 years, that's Shanim. Ubi Yovel. But Yovel is also explicit because it says, Ad Shnat Yovel Yabodimach, which is, in the Parsha that talks about an Eved Ivri that sells himself to a Jew, it says, Kisachir Ketoshaviyeh Imach, Ad Shnat Yovel Yabodimach. So there again, it's explicit that the Yovel is a term limit for the Eved Ivri. Begirin Kesef. How do we know that Girin Kesef works? Amar Chizki Adam Akra, the pasuk says by the Ama Ha'Ivriya, it says, Imra'a Be'enei Adonai, Asher Lo Ye'ada, Ve'hefda. Ve'hefda means that she can redeem herself. Melameit Shemigarab Pridyuna V'yotza. That he has to defease the purchase price over the years that she will work there. And then she should be able to buy herself out if she can accumulate whatever monies it is to buy herself out, or the Adon should help her to acquire those monies to redeem herself. So those are the three methods that we mentioned. Shanim, Yovel, and Giron Kesef. So many of the Achronim ask your question and say, what's the Chiddush here? What's the Chiddush that you defease the purchase price over the years? That seems to be obvious that if you buy the person for a certain amount of years of work, that you buy them in installments of the purchase price over that period of time. The answer that most of the Achronim give in the Chiddush is that even though The Amai Vriyah or the Eved Ivri becomes more valuable, first of all, as they get older, as they have more experience. So you would think that the value actually increases towards the end of their term, because now they've been trained, now they are older, and therefore maybe the Adon has the right to ask for more money when he releases it at the end. Not to say that the purchase price is evenly distributed. The answer is Giron Kesef, which is the Torah prescribes that it's Lefi HaShanim. The Torah prescribes that the redemption is based on the years distributed evenly with the purchase price, despite the fact that technically the value seemingly goes up as they reach the end of their term. And that is the Gzerat HaKatuv of Giron Kesef. That's the Chiddush of Giron Kesef, which is that we don't say what you would say, which is true, that they're worth more towards the end of their term, rather than just saying that's an even distribution over the years. Tana, we have another Braita. V'koneh etatzmo b'kesef, u'b'shav b'kesef, u'b'shtar. So now we have a Braita that says that an Eved Ivri can be acquired through money, money equivalents, and shtar. Now we're going to see that kesef v'shav b'kesef is already mentioned in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says kesef. The problem is shtar is mentioned in this Braita as a vehicle for acquisition, which is not mentioned in our Mishnah.
So what value is he buying them for when he buys shtar?
No, this is redeeming himself. But Koneh that small. Said he's able to require his freedom either through Kesef, Shava Kesef, Ubishtar. Again, Kesef, we've already mentioned our Mishnah because that's one Giron. Giron was one of the methods by which he could free himself. Shtar is never mentioned. There's no document of emancipation that's mentioned in our Mishnah as a way for an Eved Ivri to gain his freedom. So here you have in this Braita, something new. So, Bishlama Kesef Dichtiv. So we know Kesef because it's written in the Parsha of Eved Ivri that is sold to a non-Jew. It says over there, Mi Kesef Miknato. That it says, Im Od Rabot Bishanim. There are many years left. Lefihim Yashiv Geulato Mi Kesef Miknato. That you give him back according to those years. You redeem him Mi Kesef Miknato. Out of the money of his acquisition. So you see that money can redeem him or free him because you take from the original purchase price and you figure out how many years he has left and you buy him out. That's explicit in the Pasuk. Shava Kesef, the fact that you can use money equivalents is also there. It says Yashiv Geulato. That's what I just read. Lefihem Yashiv Geulato mi Kesef Miknato. Yashiv Geulato means any value that equates to Kesef Miknato will also work. So that's Yashiv Geulato Amarchamana. The Rabot Shava Kesef ki Kesef. That money equivalents is the same as money. Where does this star derive from? If he said him, he writes a star saying that I owe you this money. Basically, the owner is a nice guy. He says, you want to buy out your freedom. So give me an IOU that says that you owe me the money. We'll free you today, and then you'll pay me back the money through the star. Because it says, I knew Kesef. It's the Adon's prerogative. Right, see, Adon's prerogative. He doesn't have to do this. He makes a choice that he wants to help him out. He's trying to put him on the straight path now. So I know Kesef. The Gemara says that type of shtar is no different than Kesef. Just because you don't give physical Kesef, it's more like shove a Kesef than I would say Kesef. Right, but it's a promissory note, a check. He's basically writing him an IOU, and that's the equivalent of Kesef. He's giving his full value. It's just that it's not coming today. It's just going to be on the come. It's on credit. But that is Kesef. Ella Shichrur. So Gemara says, must be that he's giving him a shtar shichru, which basically says, Ariyata mishukhrar, you are freed. The Gemara says, shtar lamali. What do I need a shtar for? Why does an Eved Ivri need a shtar? So now, just taking a step back, if you remember from the Gemara in Gitin, when it came to an Eved Kanani, you required a shtar shichru. That is because there are two forms of ownership inside of an Eved Kanani. You have a monetary ownership in Eved Kanani, and you also have an Iser ownership within the Eved Kanani, which is, first of all, your right to enslave him, the blocking right that he may not marry a Bat Israel, and the obligation of the Torah that you must be ma'abid them. You have to work them, enslave them, and not free them. So that is, you pass them as property, you do not free them. So you have two rights of ownership inside of an Eved Kanani, monetary rights, and you have Iser rights in them. That's what happens when you say to an Eved Kanani that you're mafkir them. If you make them hefker, you only release them from that monetary ownership. The Iser ownership remains in place, and therefore they require a get shichrur in order to release them from that Iser aspect. But you have more than monetary ownership in this individual. And so since you have more than monetary ownership, your simple hefker will not release him. It releases him from shibud, does not release him from his status as an Eved Knani. He can't marry a Bat Yisrael. He remains an Eved Knani. You're not allowed to free him, technically. But the Gemara says, by an Eved Ivri, what do you need a Shtar Shechrur for? The only ownership you have in an Eved Ivri is for his output. You bought the annuity of his output till the termination, whether it's the Yovel, till it's the 6 years, whatever the end of his enslavement period is, you bought his Masei Yadayim. You have only monetary ownership over here. You have no ownership in him per se, but Iser, you only have monetary ownership. So therefore, what do you need a Shtar Shechrur for? All you have to say is, where it says, Leimela Be'apitre, Zil. You just say in front of two people, go by. Inami Ape Beindina, Zil. Or go to Beit Din and say, he's gone, he's free. You forgive the monetary ownership over here. That's sufficient grounds to free him. You do not need any other type of release because you don't have any other type of ownership over here that requires release. Tosfot over here discusses why doesn't it just say hamafkir, that you're mafkir the Eved, because that is the simplest way to do it. Just be mafkir the Eved, and that means that you've just released your ownership in his output. And the first person to take a position of that is he himself. Because he owns himself, and the output will come back to him, and then you're done. Why does the Gemara go through all these things in front of Tuedim, in front of Beit Din? Tosfot in the end says, Enochanami. Could have said, Ani, Ani, Mafkir, Otcha. That would work over here. Ella, what the Gemara is asking is, if you're going to release him through a shtar, why are you using the language of Hariyata Mishukhrar, that you are freed? That is not necessary over here. All you have to do is, in a shtar, if you can use a shtar, it's just write Zil, or you're your own. You don't have to do any type of shichrur over here. That's the Gemara's question. And the truth is that the only reason you need edim over here are because you need witnesses to the fact that he freed the Eved Ivri. Because if he doesn't have witnesses, where is he going to have proof? He doesn't have any shtar shichrur. He doesn't have any document of emancipation. And therefore, the witnesses of the Beit Din are necessary here not to generate the freedom, but rather to be evidence of the fact that there was a freedom over here. There are some Mishunim that say that creates the Gemirat Adat that you need over here, but most do not require that with regards to this Mechila. Amar Rava. Rava therefore concludes, Zoto Meretz, Eved Ivri, Gufo Kanoi. So what Rava does is comes to another conclusion, which is, if you say that Shtar is necessary over here, and the only Shtar we can be talking about is Shtar Shechrur, that tells you something about the relationship between the Adon and the Eved Ivri. Not that the shtar is wrong and shtar doesn't work here, because we have a brayta that says shtar does work over here. So therefore, you must conclude that Eved Ivri has a different relationship with the Adon, which is that some gufo kanoi, that he has some ownership beyond the monetary ownership here in the gufa Eved Ivri. Barav shemachal al-gironu, ein gironu machol. And therefore, when he forgives the defeasance, meaning that the remainder of his monetary ownership in this Eved, that is not sufficient grounds to free him. Because if gufo kanoi, then there is more than monetary ownership. And just forgiving that monetary obligation will not then free him. So now you have Rava telling us something about Eved Ivri, which we until now thought was the difference between an Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri. Eved Kanani has two aspects, monetary ownership and Iser ownership. We thought an Eved Ivri only has monetary ownership. Rava's michadish here, that it's not true. There's also gufo kanoi. You have a greater ownership inside of this Eved Ivri. Now, when you say gufo kanoi, you can read that in one of two ways. You can read it similar to what we say by an Eved Kanani, that the enslavement entails more than simply monetary ownership. You have ownership in this individual himself, which is a much more extreme form of ownership than simply a monetary ownership in the Eved Ivri. That's one way you could express it. The other way you can express it as gufo kanoi means his body, he himself becomes a mashkon to guarantee the output that he has to give. And what it means, gufo kanoi, is that the Adon owns him, not just for his output, but he owns him himself, in order to guarantee the output that he's going to get. And therefore, the Eved Ivri is not just an annuity or a Masei Yadayim that he owns a leasehold in the Eved Ivri. He has full ownership of the Eved Ivri, not just the leasehold, to guarantee that the leasehold gets carried out. And you can see this view that the Eved Ivri is traded like a mashkon, his goof, in the Tosfot Ari HaZaken, who says, that mitzrich le shtar shichrur velo sagile amira ba'alma shigufo kanoi lo komar sheyesh lo zchut bigufo shel eved bekano de masei shel eved velo yesh lo zchut bichuvo ein adon mafkia zchut sheyesh lo aguf be'amira elo bishtar. So that it's a lien or an acquisition of the mashkon of the body of the eved in order to function or to guarantee the Masa Yadayim. On the other hand, the Ramban views it more along or akin the lines to an Eved Knani, where there are two forms of ownership over here. There's a monetary ownership for the output of the Eved, and there's an Iser ownership over here, which is the status of Eved Ivri, because as an Eved Ivri, he's allowed to marry a Shivka Knanit. Once he is freed, he's no longer allowed to marry a Shivka Knanit. So his status change, his status of Isur, changes also, and that requires the Shtar Shechrur, given to the Eved Knani, whose status change, or Isur, also requires a Shtar Shechrur. Could express it in one of those two ways. Either way, you would need more release than simply a forgiveness of the loan. You'd have to release the Mashkon, which is what happens, for instance, when you have a mortgage in the bank. When you pay off the mortgage, you still need the bank to release the lien on the property. So the same thing over here. Even though you would forgive him for the monetary obligations, you would still need a release to get rid of the ownership aspect or the lien that the Adon has inside of this Eved Ivri. So that's one thing. Number two, Tosfot asked the question, our Mishnah does not mention Shtar. So how is Rava arguing on our Mishnah? Rava in the end is saying this Braita that says Shtar is correct. And the fact that this Braita says Shtar tells you that Eved Ivri, Gufo Kanoi. Well, if Gufo Kanoi, that means that Shtar does work or necessary to release the Eved Ivri. Well, if that's the case, then why doesn't our Mishnah mention Shtar as one of the vehicles for release of an Eved Ivri? Elohim Kain, Rava's arguing on a Mishnah. How does Rava argue on a Mishnah? So Tosafot says something interesting here. Umidolo Choshiv Matit and Shtar, Mashma the Sover, the Eved Ivri, and Gufo Kanoi. Sounds like our Mishnah believes just the opposite of Rava. V'yesh lomar, Tosfot says, the matnita nami savra de gufa kanoi. Our Mishnah also thinks that. V'ad lo choshiv shtar. So why doesn't our Mishnah mention shtar? Mishum de tana matnita lo choshiv elo yitziot. Shein bal korcho shel adom. Our Mishnah is only enumerating items which involve automatic release of the Eved Ivri. Where he's released, whether or not the adom wants it. When you hit the 6-year limit, the Eved Ivri goes free. It doesn't matter what the adom thinks. Yovel shows up, the Eved Ivri goes free, whether or not he wants to. You show up with the money to buy yourself out, the Eved Ivri goes free, irrespective of whether the Adon wants it. On the other hand, Get Shechrur, that only works if the Adon wants to. To give him a document of emancipation will only work if the Adon agrees to give it to him. Eved Ivri can't demand it from him, he can only if voluntarily. So what Tosfot says is our Mishnah only enumerated items that work, irrespective of the Adon's will. Shtar, which requires the Adon's will, that's not mentioned in our Mishnah. So in Okanami, our Mishnah agrees fundamentally with what the Braita is saying. It did not enumerate it because it's a different category. It's not dealing with that category in our Mishnah. But the Braita that did deal with that category adds in Shtar, but our Mishnah fundamentally would agree with that. That's how he deals with it. The second thing Tosafot says, which is very important, is he says, Aval, Imboaya Gufa Kanui. From our Gemara, it makes it sound like if the Eved Ivri's goof was not kanoi, hayta mechila moelet. Then forgiveness of the monetary obligation would have worked. That's exactly what the Gemara's conclusion is. Forgiveness works unless you have greater ownership in the Eved Ivri that requires a shechrur. V'yesh l'daktek mikan, te mechila lo bayi kinyan. From here, you would have a conclusion that when someone forgives an obligation, you don't need a kinyan to lock that in place. His mere statement of mechila would suffice. The fact that he says, Eved Ivri here, I forgive the rest of your time here. That would have freed him. That would have released him. He doesn't need any kinyan over here. So that would prove that whenever you have a mechila, mechila suffices without any formal kinyan for Gemira Tadat. Tosfot then says, Ve'esh l'dchot. I could knock that off because, Kevin shu mukzak begufo, ein lecha kinyan godol mizeh. So whether that means, you can read this in one of two ways, whether it means that the Eved Ivri owns himself, and since he owns himself, when the Adon is Mochel, who is the acquirer of that? There's a Kinyan here automatically, which is he's Koneb back, whatever rights the Adon forfeited, there's a Kinyan because the Eved Ivri owns himself. And that Kinyan allows him to acquire that, or acquire those rights. So he says that maybe you can't prove that from here, because here there is some form of Kinyan that exists, which is that it's going back to the Eved Ivri, and that might be what is done here in order to lock in the Mechila. So from this, you can see this more explicitly in the Tosfot Tri HaZakein. He talks about, in cases of Mechila, that Mechila would require a Kinyan, especially in cases where there's a Mashkon involved. It would require a Kinyan in order to release or take back whatever is the obligation over here. But in cases where it's just a simple forgiveness, and there's no mashkon, and there's no other collateral or interactions between them, then maybe mechila by itself it would work. So here you learn out certain things from here about the way that mechila functions. All right, now we have a statement of Reish Lakish, which is going to occupy us for most of the remainder of the daf here, which is Amar Reish Lakish, Amayivriya kona et atzma b'mitat av mirshut adon. With the death of the father, the Amayivriya is freed, meaning that we know that an Amayivriya goes free with Shanim, the lesser of 6 years, Yovel, Simanim, or Giron Kesef. Reish Lakish now adds a fifth method of freedom, which is that the father passes away. Father passes away, she goes free, mikal v'chomer. Uma simanim, she'ein motzim yirshut av. When it comes to simanim, the woman doesn't automatically released from her father. Her father has auspices over her until she becomes a bogeret. So even when she reaches the age of simanim, of puberty, the father does not lose control over his daughter. Motzim yirshut adon, yet, when she reaches the age of puberty, she automatically goes free from the master. Mita shemotzia mishut av. In a case where the father passes away, clearly he loses auspices over here. That's not a surprise because he passed away, but more than he learning, losing auspices, none of his inheritors get auspices over the daughter, meaning that his sons will not inherit the right to his daughter to marry off the daughter. That is only belongs to the av and does not pass down. So when the av dies, he loses complete control over the daughter. Enodin shemotzia mishut adon. Certainly, that should also release her from the Adon. That's the Kal V'chomer of Reish Lakish, which again is that Simanim suffice to release her from the Adon. They do not suffice to release her from the father. In the case where the father dies, it releases her from the father, then certainly it should release her from the Adon. That's the Kal V'chomer of Reish Lakish. So now the Gemara is going to challenge that first from our Mishnah. Meitave. Rav Ashayi, Yeter Alav Amar Ivriya. Our Mishnah says that the Amar Ivriya has one additional web mechanism for being free. Shekona et atzma b'simanim. She can release herself through simanim. Vim ita, if you're right, Reish Lakish, then it should be another vehicle for freedom, which is her father passing away. Tama vishir. In Ochanami, the Mishnah should have mentioned it, but the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. It left things out. My shir, dai shir. What did it leave out? It left out this, and also shir. Now remember, whenever a Mishnah gives you a grouping or a list of items, we assume that the list is exhaustive. Elaim Kane. We can prove that he left items out. And that the Gemara will do in many places in Chas, which is, the Gemara will say that the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. The only way they can prove that a list is not exhaustive is if it left out more than one item. If it left out one item, then it's clear it intentionally left that item out. It says this is in the list and that's out. If already there are numerous items left out of the list, then already you can argue that this is not an exhaustive list. It's trying to give you examples or give you a general view of the situation. Or, if you can somehow indicate that there's a categorization in the Mishnah, which says that under this category, this is the exhaustive list. But if you were to change the category a little bit, there would be other items included. We just did that before. Tosafot just did that with the Mishnah. It said, how come the Mishnah doesn't mention shtar, even though it believes shtar works? It's because our Mishnah is only dealing with cases where the person goes free against the will of the Adon. So what Tosafot did was limit the list of the Mishnah to a category. A category that says that if the Adon has to release them no matter what, that's the list in our Mishnah. But in Achanami, if you do leave that filter or that categorization out, you would have more items that are included. So for one of those two reasons, you can argue that something was left out of the Mishnah. So what the Gemara here is trying to argue is that the reason that Mitat Av was left out is because there are other items that were left out of the Mishnah, which are Mitat Adon. What happens if the master passes away? The master passes away, she also goes free. So that's another exception in the Mishnah. So it says, Imishum Mitat Adon Lav Shirohu. The fact that Mitat Adon was left out of the Mishnah is not a remainder. To give him the Ika Nami Beish Loktani. Since its son that also applies by a man, it doesn't write it. But the answer is, by the Mishnah, it does mention that, which is, it says here, by a nirtzah, big ritzah, koneta tzmo b'yovel, ube mitat ha'adon. That when it comes to an evri, that is nirtzah, then he can acquire himself back either with the yovel or the death of the master. So it's already mentioned under the evri ivri, and all we're talking about here are things that an ama ivriyah that is different than an evri ivri. The only thing that's different is simanim. Mitat ha'adon is not something that's different. Mitat ha'adon applies by an evri ivri as well. Ella nitne itana dover sheesh lo kitzva ktani, dover sheen lo kitzva lo ktani. So the Gemara says, no, we'll narrow the categorization in the Mishnah and say, the Mishnah only mentioned things that have a term limit to them. The Mishnah does not mention amorphous types of releases. The Mishnah mentions Shanim, that's 6 years. Yovel, you know when that's going to come. All these items that are mentioned in the Mishnah are things with term limits that are associated with them, which are finite amounts of time. That's not something with a finite amount of time. You have no idea when the father will pass away. It might happen, it may not happen. It's not a guaranteed form of release. What about the fact that simanim are mentioned in Mishnah? Simanim are not a fixed time. Puberty comes around a period of time, but it is not anything that's fixed. You can't say automatically it's coming in 3 years. It could be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. We saw that earlier in the Masechta with an Eilonit. By an Eilonit, where she doesn't hit puberty, then we said, oh, what is her release dependent on? How does she get released? Does she get released at 20? Does she get released at the same time or at 6 years? What applies to her in that case? So you see there are different periods of time. Mara says, Ein lem kitzva v'ktoni. They have no term limits, and still they're mentioned. Amar Rav Safra, Ein lem kitzva l'malo. Amar Yesh lem kitzva l'mato. They do not have an exact time where they appear, but there is a minimum time by which they only have application, which is, Tanya, we have a bright, a child who is 9 years and one day that already has reached the age of puberty, shuma. You assume that those hairs are not puberty, but rather hair that grows on a birthmark. They're not real indications of puberty. From 9 years and one day to 12 years and one day, and those hairs still remain there, shuma, they still have a status of a birthmark, they are not considered to be puberty. He has hairs at the time that he's 13 years and one day. That is the sign of puberty. Obviously, there's a year missing in the Braita that the Gemara in Nida deals with. The skipping from 12 years and one day to 13 years and one day. What happens in that interim period? What do we view it? But meantime, the threshold for puberty is 13 years and one day. It's 13 years and one day for a boy. Prior to that period of time, it's not classified as puberty. The same thing for the girl. 12 years and one day is the threshold. Before that point in time, it's not puberty. After that point in time, it is puberty. So you do have a kitzvah, which is that the adon knows that this girl will not go free before the age of 12 years and one day. Might be that she's there longer because her simanim don't come until later. But in the interim, he knows for certain that he's got a certain amount of time that she will be there. So that's different. That does have a kitzvah. It has a lower limit. It doesn't have an upper limit to it. So make the Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet asks from something we're going to, again, we're going to just spend more time on in the Gemara in a second. Rav Sheshet Omer, Dalid Mani Kimlam. In the Parshia of Evad Ivri in Devarim, it says that when you release the Evad Ivri, you have to provide him with a gift to go with to get himself on his own feet. Meaning that you have to help him to establish himself and to put himself back on the track, like we were discussing before, that there's a certain amount of rehabilitation that went on here. Part of that rehabilitation is that now that he has to sell himself into slavery, or he stole and he got sold into slavery, now we want him to come out, we want him not to have to go back to his old ways. We don't have to go borrow money again. We don't want him to steal again. So what we try to do is make him self-sufficient. So the adon is commanded to give him hanakah, to give him a gift that will allow him to start out a small business and to get him on his feet. So that Hanukkah, Rabbi Shimon says, Dalid Mani Kimlam. There are four people that get Hanukkah. Gimel Be'ish, Be'gimel Be'isha. Three of them apply by a man, three of them apply by a woman. V'yata yucholomar Dalid Be'echad Men. You can't say four by a man or four by a woman, the fee. She'ain simanim Be'ish. Because simanim are not applicable by an ish. Ben Ritziah Be'isha. And there's no such thing as piercing the ear of an isha. Namai Vriyah can't stay beyond the period of time of 6 years, Yovel or Simanim, she can't do piece her ear and stay till the Yovel. That doesn't apply by an Amah Ivriya. So therefore, what are the four items? Dalid Manikin Lam. Anyway, we're going to see in a second, it's a Machloket Tanaim, what is or which Eved Ivri is entitled to Hanukkah. But now, the Gemara's assumption now is that these are the four. Yotzei B'Sheish Shanim, person who's freed after 6 years. Yotzei B'Yovel, someone who goes out on the Yovel. Nirtza, she Yotzei B'Mitat Adon. Someone who pierced his ear and then the adon dies. V'simanim dama ivriya. Those are the four individuals that get Hanukkah. So out of those four, three of them are applicable by a man because simanim are not relevant by an eved ivri. And three of them are applicable by an ama ivriya because ritziya is not applicable. So those are the four instances where the eved ivri or the ama ivriya will be entitled to Hanukkah. So Gemara says, wait a minute. If you're right, v'im ita, According to Reish Lakish, that the mitata av also frees the amai vriya, nitnei nami mitata av. In that case, the amai vriya should be entitled to hanaka also. So what are you going to say? The same answer we gave for our Mishnah, that it was an exhaustive list. It says four. It gives you an exact number. Now, Tosfos points out, the Gemara all over Shas has no problem saying, when a Mishnah says, these are the three items, these are the four items, the Gemara says, Tana Vashir. The Gemara has no problem saying that it's not an exhaustive list. But rather, he says here, the fact that that Braita went back and repeated, not just saying that there are four ways, but it says it's impossible to have more than four by one of them. That's already a statement that takes on much more significance, because that's just not true. According to Reish Lakish, you can have four by an Amai Ivriya, because Mita Dav would be the fourth one. So now the Gemara says, okay, V'chi Teima, Tano Teyaver Sheish Lo Kitzvah Ktani, Dar Shein Lo Kitzvah Lo Ktani. So what do you do? You give the same answer on Mishnah. This Braita is only dealing with a categorization of items that are limited, meaning that they have a fixed time to them. V'asimanim Teinlem Kitzvah. Okay, there are simanim are mentioned in Kitzvah. V'ktani, and they're written. V'chi Teima Achanami Kirav Safra. So you're going to answer like Rav Safra did for our Mishnah, which is that there's a lower limit, not a maximum limit. V'ayka mitata adon, dein lehem kitzvah. V'ktani mitata adon. This is your question, Yechiel, which is, in this list here is mentioned, one of the items of the four that's mentioned is mitata adon, the death of the adon. The master dying is also not something that has a fixed duration to it. You have no idea when the adon will die. And you're mentioning that as one of the items, near tzah, and everybody who got his ear pierced and his master dies, then he goes free. Well, you're mentioning that as one of the cases of Hanaka. That's not a kitzvah. So if Adon doesn't have a kitzvah, then why don't you mention mitata av? Where it says, mitata adon nami loktani. Who says that the mitata adon is written in this braita? All the braita says is there are four methods for Hanaka. We guessed at what those four were. We said sheshanim, yovel, nirtza, that the adon dies, and simanim. We guessed those were the four. Where it says, you got the wrong four. Ela arba'a amainihu. What are the four items that you get Hanukkah? Shanim, 6 years. Yovel. Yovel here speaks about a yovel in the first 6 years of work. Said third one is yovel shel ritziah. Yovel for someone who had his ear pierced and is staying on longer. Also, yovel affects him. Ve'amai v'riyah b'simanim. Those are the four. So now you threw out mitat adon and you split yovel into two pieces. Yovel for the yishay shanim and yovel for the ritziah. Hachanami mistavra, that makes a lot of sense, so those are the four. Tiktani seifa, because the seifa says, Iyata yocholomar arba'a be'echad mehem. You can't say four by any one of them. Lefi she'en simanim be'ish, ben ritziah be'isha, because there are no simanim by nish, there's no ritziah by'isha. Vim ita be'isha miyamishkachad la arba'a. If you say mitat adon applies, and there is mitat adon, then you would have four by the isha, because mitat adon applies. Sheshanim applies to an Amai Ivriya. Yovel applies to an Isha. Mitat adon applies to the Isha. And so does Simanim. You would have four. Eshmamina, that the breakdown of the four is not that. It's Yovel by Ritzia. Yovel by Ritzia an Amai Ivriya can never get to because she can never be a Ritzua. She can never be one who has her ear pierced. Therefore, Yovel by that case is not applicable, and that's why it's limited to three in each of them. The Yovel acts as a release when you're an Eved Ivri in your first 6 years of work. And then if you choose to stay on, and then you enter this new area of Eved Ivri, which is the extended Eved Ivri, Yovel releases you there. It's not obvious that Yovel will release you in either one of those. Could argue that Yovel releases you, and the Gemara did this before, there's a Tzrichuta. The Gemara says, just because Yovel releases you during your 6 years, doesn't mean that it releases you during your extended period. Why? Because in the extended period, you voluntarily entered there. So maybe Yovel shouldn't free you. Or the other way around. Maybe that Yovel should free you when you do the extended period because you already worked your minimum of 6 years. But in a case where it bumps into you during the 6 years, you haven't done the minimum of 6 years, it shouldn't free you. Gemara made it tzrichuta that it's not obvious that Yovel should help you in each of those instances. These are those that you provide anakah for. Hayotze b'shanim, ubi yovel, ubi mitata adon, v'amai vriya b'simanim. V'mi'ita, nitnei nami mitatav. Where is mitatav over here? If you argue here that it was left out, it's not an exhaustive list. Va'elu k'toni. First of all, it says, elu manikim. Elu seems to be these and not others. So you're going to argue, it only talks about things that have limits to them, not things that don't have limits to them. Va'simanim, deinlem kitzvah. Simanim are mentioned. Big Tani, it's written, V'chitem ha'chanami k'drav Safra. He'll answer like Rav Safra, V'ayika mitat ha'adon. It mentions mitat ha'adon in this list. And now you can't say, oh, it's not mitat ha'adon. When we had an anonymous list, you could argue mitat ha'adon, yes, mitat ha'adon, no. So we said no. But over here, where it's explicit that mitat ha'adon is included, then you have something that has no kitzvah, no limit to it, and it's mentioned. Where is mitatav? Tiyufta the Reish Lakish Tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of that position of Reish Lakish. But now the Gemara runs into a problem and says, Var Reish Lakish, Kavachomer Amar. Wait a minute, Reish Lakish made a Kavachomer. He had a logical argument. You've done nothing to undermine the logical argument. All you've shown me is that there are Mishnayot, or there is some Tanaic work that disagrees with Reish Lakish. What you haven't done is show me why his Kavachomer fails. Maybe his Kavachomer works, and you have people that disagree with it, but maybe it does work. It says, Kavachomer Prichahi. It is a failed Kavachomer. There's a block or a problem in the logic here. Mishum de'ika lemifrach. You can undermine the Kavachomer in this matter. Malas simanim shinishtana haguf. In the case of simanim, the girl's body changes. She physically changes. Tomar b'midat av, shekein lo nishtana haguf. By the death of the father, she does not change. Or in other words, while she is an Ama Ivriya, Adon purchased her as one girl. By the time she gets Simanim, she is a different girl than the girl that he bought, meaning that there's a change in her physical maturity, which also changes her status. Meaning that there are two things that happen here, physical change and then status change. That's enough of a reason to say that she's released from the Adon. By the Mita Da'av, nothing changes. She's the same girl that he bought, is still the same girl that is working for him. There's been no change in her status, no change in her physical status. And therefore, the Kavachomer doesn't work. Simanim might be a much stronger vehicle for release than the Mitat Av, because Simanim are a change in the physical properties of the girl, which will give her the halachic status change. And that's why she's freed from the Adon. By the Mitat Av, which doesn't change her status at all, no Nishtana Aguf, in that case, it should not free her from the Adon. And that's the running of the Kavachomer. Okay, very good. So excellent. So Tosfot asks your question slightly differently, but I think along the lines of what you're asking here is, why isn't she freed from the Av when Nishtana Gufa? Why don't you make the same question by the father? The Adon, you're saying she's released, because the same girl that he bought is not the same girl that he has now. Why don't you say by the father too? The father has auspices over as a Ktana, but now she's a different girl. So why shouldn't she go free with Simanim from the father?
And if you don't say that, then it's not a Pircha to the Kal V'chomer, because you see that the change of the Guf of the girl has no real impact. It has impact by the Adon, but it has no impact by the father. So how can you make that the pircha to the Kal V'chomer?
So Tosfot answers, because the relationship is different. The relationship of the Adon to the Amai Vriya is one of a purchase. He purchased a girl of a certain type, let's call it. That type changed when she became of age. By the father, the relationship has nothing to do with the status of the girl. The father is the daughter's father, irrespective of what she looks like or who she is. That status of father does not change. The reason that he has auspices over here is because he is her father. His being her father is not changed by the fact that she gets simanim. Pasuk tells us when he has auspices, when he doesn't have auspices, but simanim or changing her goof are not reasons to say that their relationship is severed between the father and the daughter. The father-daughter relationship extends way beyond or exists irrespective of the nature of the daughter. That's why Tosfot says simanim are different for an adon than they are for the father. It's now, Tana Chado, Anak Eved Ivri Latzmo. There's one brighter that says that when it comes to the Hanakah and Eved Ivri, it belongs to him. Banak Ama Ivriya Latzmo. And when it comes to the Hanakah, to an Ama Ivriya, it belongs to her herself. But Tani Idach, we have an alternate brighter that says, Anak Ama Ivriya Umitziyata Leaviyah. That the Hanakah for the Ama Ivriya goes to her father, just like her Mitziyah would go to her father. Vein Rabbah Leschar B'Teila Bilvad. And the only thing that the Adon has is her absence from work. So what happens if an Ama Ivriya is passing by the street, she sees an Aveda, and she picks up the Aveda, like a good girl, to return it to its rightful owner. By doing that, now, she has stopped doing the work that she's supposed to be doing, and she's taken the Mitziyah to return it. What happens if there's no owner? It was Hefker, and she picks up the Mitziyah. She's now acquired something, which is an object. Who does that object belong to? So what the Braita says is that object belongs to the father, because she's still, quote-unquote, under the auspices of the father, and the Mitziyah would accrue to her father's benefit. Gemara says, well, then what is the Adon at? Doesn't the Adon, the one who owns her over here? Gemara says, yes, the Adon owns her over here. For what perspective? for the perspective that if she now took out time from her work to take care of the mitziyah and to pick it up, so he gets what's called schar betala, which is her absence from work. He gets unemployment, restitution, which is that she stopped working for a period of time to deal with the mitziyah. And that's all he's entitled to. So now you have brachot that argue about who the anaka is shayach to. Does the anaka belong to the ama ivriya herself when she goes free, or does it belong to the father? My love, hadanafka b'simanim, hadanafka lebe mitat av. The easiest way to distinguish between the brachot is to say that the release of the ama ivriya was different over here. In the case where she's released by simanim, then we'll say that it belongs to the father. In the case where the father passes away, we'll say that the anaka belongs to the ama ivriya, because the father doesn't exist. Since the father doesn't exist, the anaka belongs to the ama ivriya. It says, lo, idi v'idi denafkala b'simanim. Now, both cases here are a case where she's released by simanim. No klokash, and there's no question here, how do we differentiate between the brachot? Hadi ite la'av, v'ad alete la'av. The question of whether the av is alive or not alive. So, in both instances, she's going out b'simanim. The only question is her father alive or is her father not alive? So at first, the Gemara saw this as a proof to Reish Lakish's position that mitat av was a form of release. And therefore it said that the difference between the brachot's positions has to do with what is causing the release over here. Is the release caused by simanim? It's caused by simanim, then the father should get the benefit of anakah, because she's still under the auspices of the father. On the other hand, if the release comes with a mitat av, then that release will not accrue to the father because the father doesn't exist. But what do you see from here? That mitat av is a vehicle for release. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting, the difference between the brachot. The Gemara says, and though, that's not supportive of Reish Lakish's position because idi v'idi nafka lo b'simanim. Both cases, the release happens because she hit puberty. Below kasha, so then, why is there a difference in the brachot, whether it goes to her or father? The question of whether her father's alive or not. If their father's alive when she's released to puberty, the father gets the anaka. If the father is not alive when she's released at the age of puberty, then the anaka goes to herself. So Mary says, Bishlama anak amayvriya liatzma lemuteachin. So then, now we understand why the brachta told us that the anaka of an amayvriya goes to herself. Because it comes to teach you that she gets it and not the brothers. Meaning that the father doesn't grant that inheritance to his sons to acquire the anaka in his place. It belongs to her and not to the brothers. And we learn that out to Tanya. The Eved Kanani gets passed to your children like property, like a Yerusha, but your daughters do not get passed down to your sons as a Yerusha. They have no rights or entitlement in what the father would have had in his daughter. They do not have those rights in their sister. Mikan, Shein Adam Morish, Schut Bito Livno. From here it's clear that the rights that a father has in his daughter are not passed to his son. So I understand why the brachta came to tell us that the anaka of the ama ivriya goes to herself, to tell you that it doesn't go to the brothers. Ella, anak eved ivri la'atzmo, the fact that an eved ivri gets the anaka for himself, pshita, ella laman, that's simple. Who else would the anaka go to if it were not the eved ivri himself? Amar Rav Yosef, yud karat kachazina. I am seeing a yud being read over here. As Rashi explains over here, Yud, shehi ktana, asa ir gdola. The Yud, that is a very small letter, all of a sudden built a huge city. Well, or in other words, we're making a mountain out of a molehill. Or, the way Rashi reads it is, herich mishnato chinam. That the person who wrote this brachta wrote unnecessarily extended or expanded the Mishnah and told us information that otherwise was not necessary. And therefore, Yud karat kachazina ocha. And the way you see in the Misor Shas is Karat Shemir is the name of a city. And therefore, the Mashal is Yud Karat. It's like a city. It's like the city of Yud Karat. You're building a mountain out of a molehill. That's one way to read it. Or you can read it as Yud Karat. We're reading a Yud over here. Or you can read it as Yud Karat. Yud is like the city of Karat. And the Rach has a different gears here, which is Yud Krat. Which is that this is a question that was already asked by the Chacham Rav Yossi Miyud Krat. Or others play on that say that this is a difficult question, like Rav Yossi Ben Yokrat, who was a difficult individual, or whether he was someone who always asked questions, but it's similar to his genre of questions or the nature of his personality.
Anyway, all of those are meaning the same thing, which is that out of something little, we're making something big. Abai Amar, Ochi Amar, no, Abai says there is significance to his statement. Even though you, Rava, claimed that it was completely unnecessary, there is significance to this, because Ochi Amar Rav Sheshet Hamani Totaihu. The author of this braita is Totai, the Tanya Totai Omer, Lo, Velo Lebal Chovo. This is similar to what we learned in yesterday's daf with regards to the Shita of Rabbi Notan, the transitive property of debts, which is that if A is a creditor to B and B is a creditor to C, then A can go directly after C and get his payment because that transitive property of credit. So over there we said that that transitive property of credit does not apply to Hanukkah. It doesn't apply to Hanukkah, and that's Totai's position over here. Lo velo lebal chovo. That when you give Hanukkah to Eved Ivri, it comes to teach you, it goes to Eved Ivri, does not go to his creditor. You can, the Hanukkah does not automatically go to his creditor, it goes to Eved Ivri and not to the creditor. The creditor can't get and demand that from the Adon, because the Hanukkah belongs to the Eved Ivri, and in that sense, it's indemnified from being captured by the creditors. This Hanukkah, this part of the rehabilitation of this individual, is exempt from that din of Rabbi Notan. Tosafot in yesterday's daf discussed the fact that from here it makes it sound that this is a dat yochid, that this is a dat of an individual, and we don't hold like this. And therefore Tosafot on yesterday's daf was trying to figure out whether we really paskin like Rabbi Notan, or we don't paskin like Rabbi Notan. One of the proofs that people bring that we don't is the fact that the Gemara over here says that the limud or the miut from Rabbi Notan Shito is a dat yochid of Totai. In the end, Tosafot says, maybe not. Maybe when the Gemara says it's Totai Shita, it's because we heard it from him explicitly. That doesn't mean that other people disagree with it. Maybe that's the Shita of Totai, but others agree with that Shita. So now, Gufa, the Gemara continues and wants to discuss what we just mentioned above. Ilu manikim lahem. These are the individuals who are entitled to Hanukkah. Yotze b'shanim, biyovel, umitat adon, v'ama ivriya b'simanim. Someone is released after 6 years. With the Yovel, the death of the Adon, and an Amayvira when she reaches puberty. Aval Boreach, a person who runs away. Vyotzei Begiron Kesef, or he is freed because he bought himself out. Ein Manikim Lo. There is no entitlement to Hanukkah in those cases. Rabbi Meir Omer, Boreach Ein Manikim Lo. The guy who runs away does not get Hanukkah. Vyotzei Begiron Kesef, Manikim Lo. But if he buys his freedom out, then he does get Hanukkah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Arba'a manikim lahem. There are 4 people to get Hanukkah, and this is what we quoted above. Shlosha bi'ish, shlosha bi'isha. There are 3 by a man and 3 by a woman. V'yata yuchol lomar arba'a be'echad mehem. You can't have 4 by one of them. V'fi she'ein simanim bi'ish, uritzi'ah bi'isha. Because there's no such thing as puberty being a release for the man, and there's no such thing as ritzi'ah by the isha. Now, whether Rabbi Shimon argues on the Tanakam or not really has to do with our Gemara before. And again, here, we discuss this above. If you lose the list of the 4 that we just mentioned before, which is Shanim, Yovel, Mitata, Adon, and Amai Ivriya, then the reason that they are excluded is because an Amai Ivriya does not have Ritziah, and the Ish does not have puberty. The Gemara said that it might make more sense to say that Rabbi Shimon's 4 are not the same 4 as the Tanakama, which is that we explained Rabbi Shimon, the 4 items are not including the Mitata, Adon, but rather, Shanim, Yovel of a regular Ivri, Yovel of a Ritziah, and the case of puberty. And that's why they don't overlap. So there are some Mishonim that explain that that is what Rabbi Shimon is coming to argue on and say that Mitata Adon doesn't count for Hanukkah, whether as the Tamakama says yes. And actually, there's a difference with the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi also does not count the Mitata Adon as one of the individuals who's entitled to Hanukkah. And that's because it's not considered to be Shilucho Meimach. Do you consider the death of the Adon to be Shilucho Meimach because it's against the will of the Eved Ivri? He had no choice in it. Or do you say that it's not considered to be Shilucho Meimach because you never sent him away? The Adon's no longer there to send him away. He goes free because of the situation or circumstance now, not because he was sent away. So Yushalmi, and maybe possibly Rabbi Shimon, believe that Mitat Adon is not a reason for Hanukkah, whereas the Tanakama and the Bavli seem that it is a reason for Hanukkah. Or, there are other Rishonim that believe that Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on the Tanakama. He's simply giving a klal, or some principles by which one can remember or understand what is going on over here. But says, Menahane Milei, where do we know this from? Where does this machloket derive from? The Tanrabanan. Yocholo ye manikim ele yotze b'sheish. You would think that Tanakama only applies to someone who's released after 6 years, because that's what it's mentioned in the Parshiyat Devarim when it talks about Hanukkah.
It talks about when you release him after the 6 years, lo tishalchenu reikam, you can't send him out empty-handed. So minayda rabot yotzei biyovel mitat adon v'amai v'riyah b'simanim. How do I know that it's not limited just to the case of sheish, shanim? Tamalomar tishalchenu. V'chi tishalchenu. The word tishalchenu is repeated twice in the pasuk, which says, v'chi tishalchenu chofshi mi'imach, lo tishalchenu reikam. So here it says the word tishalchenu twice. One to teach you that when he's released from sheish shanim, you have to give him Hanukkah. And the other tishalchenu to teach you that even in other cases he will get Hanukkah. What are those other cases? Those are Yovel, Mitata Adon, and Simanim for the Amai Vriya. Bnei Yeshua does note over here with regards to the Mitata Adon, it's not so clear why the Yoshim then have to pay Hanukkah. In general, when we have an outstanding loan or chuvah, unless it's a written obligation, then it does not pass down to the Yoshim, and they're not obligated to fulfill it. So what the Achronim explain here is that the Sota Choshen says that this is a Gzeirat HaKatuv. This is not like a regular outstanding obligation, but rather it is a Gzeirat HaKatuv, that there's an obligation to pay these individuals. That obligation is on the Adon. If the Adon passes away, that obligation is on the children. Irrespective of whether it's considered to be a chov or not a chov, it's a gzeirat hakatuv. And that's why the Yoshim have to pay for the Hanukkah. Others, like the Avnei Nezer, suggest that it is a chovah, but it's a chovah on the estate, not a chovah on the Yoshim. And therefore the estate, if they acquire the estate, meaning the Yoshim get the estate is obligated to make this payment. And therefore they have to make the payment out of the monies of the estate, because the estate is the obligatory party here. That the Hanukkah, in essence, has a lien on the estate, not a lien on the Adon in particular, or the Yoshim in particular. Tosfot asks over here, why do you need the riboy for the Amai Viyah by Hanukkah? Because the Pasuk says explicitly in Devarim, Ve'af lamatcha tasekei. You also have to do this Hanukkah for your Amai Viyah. So why do I need the V'chi tishalchenu chofshi mi'imach, lo tishalchenu reikam? Why do I need that riboy? So Tosfot says that's because, had it been just for the pasuk, I would have thought that only applies to an Amai Vira who's released after 6 years. But an Amai Vira who's released after Simanim, maybe she would not be included, and that's why I need the riboy for an Amai Vira, because Amai Vira was explicit in the pasuk, maybe only talking about a case of Sheshanim. How do I know that other instances of freedom of the Amai Vira are also governed by this Hanukkah? That's what I need the riboy for. Yochel Shani Mirabe Boreach V'yotzei B'yon Kesef. You would think I would include even someone who runs away, or someone who buys their freedom. Tamalomar v'chi tishochenu chofshi mi'imach. When you send him free, mishishilucho mi'imach. When you are the one releasing him, when you are the one sending him free. That's true by sheishanim. That's true by the yovel. That's true by the mitat adon. That's true by puberty. In all those cases, the adon is releasing the eved. Yatza boreach v'yotzei b'gyon kesef shein shilucho mi'imach. Those cases, you're not sending them away. They left. Meaning that either he ran away, or he's buying his freedom, and therefore he left. It's not that you're sending them away. They are releasing themselves, and therefore they're not subject to the din of Hanukkah. Rabbi Meomer, Boreach Eimani Kimlo, Dein Shiluchu Mimach. By Hanukkah, you do not give it to someone who runs away, because there certainly you're not sending him away. He ran away. Avayotze b'giron kesef, Shishiluchu Mimach. Then, when it comes to giron kesef, when that is a release from you, why? Boreach hashlamabai. Because someone who runs away has to come back and make up the years. If we capture him, or if he's brought back, then he has to make up the years that he didn't do with this individual. Since he has to make up the years, therefore he's not considered to be sent away from the Adon. On the other hand, by Giron Kesef, when he releases himself through Giron Kesef, the Adon is free him completely. He has no longer any claim on him. He can't say, come back and finish off your years. He's done. And therefore, that's considered to be shlucho mi'imach. And as Rashi notes over here, hashlama abayi lo shlim sheish, odachar hashlamari hu ki yotzei b'shanim v'yanikeu. He finishes out his 6 years, then he's like yotzei b'sheish. He's yotzei b'sheish, then he gets Hanukkah. So you will get Hanukkah if you finish it out, but if you leave early, if you're boreach, then you have no entitlement to the Hanukkah because you didn't complete the work that would entitle you to the Hanukkah. But that's the difference between a boreach and giron kesef, which is the owed years to the Adon. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Tetzayin Amud Bet.